Gets me every time. Obviously, it's not Todd. But I had you going there for a second. Hello, everyone. This is Chris Burden. You may know me as the person who plays the copious amounts of sound effects on the show and doesn't talk very often. But hey, that could be changing. They tell me I have a great radio voice. And, you know, who am I to argue? It's what the listeners want. But we have a fun show this week. Tom Martin hosts in Todd's absence. It's the second time we've had a sit-in host. At Tom Martin LA is his Twitter. Follow him. He's hilarious. The show is rounded out by Eric Olson, at Olson Eric, O-H-L-S-E-N, on Twitter. And myself, at Chris Burdens. We have a really fun time. Steve Feinarch joins us. Check out The Bitter Buddha if you haven't seen it already. The brilliant documentary about Eddie Pepitone. And our guest is Henry Phillips, at Henlips. He's too funny for words, too funny for this description. Check out Henry's Kitchen and check out his documentary, Punching the Clown. And I'm being told by our producer that we need to pass the mic over to Todd to do his normal intro. So, Todd, take it away.
Well, thank you, Chris. I sure hope people follow all you guys on Twitter. It would mean a lot to me. Hi, everybody. Well, here's the deal. I'm outside the San Jose Improv hanging out with actually a good bunch of people. And I wanted to say hello and intro you to this week's show hosted by Tom Martin and the family. And I think Tom did a great job. I haven't heard it yet, to be honest. So, by the way, remember the food lady? The one that we took, her saying, I want, and we just took her voice. Well, she saw the video. I'm being totally serious to George Carlin. I was so glad that she wasn't offended because I didn't want her to be. It had nothing to do with making fun of her. We took a rant that she made, and we just made an absurd sketch out of it where it was somebody at a restaurant ordering food that wasn't on the menu. And it just happened to work. And I was so glad that she heard it and was not offended. And that made me so happy. And I hope everyone leaves good messages on her site and positive things and nice things. And if you left anything not nice, I want you to apologize. Okay? Because she said on her blog, I guess you would call it, she totally got it, and I was so happy that she appreciated it. All right, I'm a little bit stoned right now, but that's nothing new. So anyway, Tom Martin hosted this week with everybody on the show, and I hope they had fun, and I hope that everything I said so far makes sense. I think it does. To hear all those people in the background, sounds like a lot of people having fun. Well, they are. Why am I laughing like a mental patient? Listen to this group. Did you hear them? Thugs. San Jose thugs. That's right, folks. All right. Enjoy the show. Follow those guys on Twitter. All right? All right, bye. You're great. You really are. You know what? I like you just the way you are.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Talking. Just start recording.
We're
and
on.
We'll start talking and we'll have some of that. Is it time? Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Tom Martin and I am substitute hosting the Todd Glass Show. And I know, it's so exciting. And we've packed the show with so much talent here that we probably don't need Todd to ever come back. We got Henry Phillips.
Hold on, wait. So wait. Todd's not going to be here tonight.
Oh, no. Henry, you didn't hear that. I'm the guest host filling in for Todd. So, yeah, he's not going to be here. Is that cool?
You know, if you don't mind, I'm going to reschedule for a time when Todd's here.
Oh, why don't you just...
But I'm friends with Todd.
Yeah, but you're here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're already here. I mean,
but nobody's
cool.
going to listen to this episode because Todd's not here.
Look, man, this is tough. Because
I mean, I know it's awkward. I'm not trying to be insulting, but I'm just saying.
I have not hosted a podcast before, and maybe we weren't upfront completely about.
I was not told
about Todd not being here, but if you could just hang in there, and we'll just see how it goes. And if you got to leave, you got to leave.
Well, do you have alcohol?
We have. You can have as much alcohol as you like.
Okay, cool.
And we have something that might help change your mind.
Okay.
Yes, maybe this will change your mind.
Ooh. What is that?
Well, I was wondering who the guest would be while Todd's away, when I came across some folk musician guy, and he was singing funny songs and throwing down on bits, 'cause Henry Phillips is the guest on this week's show.
Aww.
Last time we heard recordings from his vocal coach.
He's not leaving
now. Red leather, yellow leather, good to go. I hope he has a good time with Tom Martin, 'cause Henry Phillips is the guest on this week's show.
Guys, I don't know what to say. Now I feel like a dick. I mean, I felt like a dick anyway, but I was fine with being a dick. But now that I realize that you guys have done something that nobody has ever done for me in my entire life, seriously, you guys wrote a song for me.
Yeah.
And I just, it just
changes things, doesn't it, Henry?
Thank you so much, guys.
So can you stick around?
Yeah, absolutely.
Give
I'll stick around.
Hour.
Sure. Come on. All right, let's have a fun time today. I apologize to the audience for being weird on that beginning part.
Oh, thank you. Because, you know, I want to thank the regulars here, Eric Olson and Chris Burden, for being here and just being so helpful and telling me how Todd usually does things. Because,
of course.
Oh, yeah, not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, like the way you guys, you know, you said that Todd likes you to have stuff all over the table.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Yeah.
Beers on the table are fine. Todd. Really
and you guys
like
to, you said that Todd.
No coasters.
Todd likes you to show up late, right? Isn't that what you said?
5, 10, 20 minutes late, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because I wouldn't think that. I thought you guys would want to show up on
time. No, he really encourages
that. So
actually.
Todd's cool with that. Yeah, exactly. I didn't know that.
We were late today, is because we knew that's how Todd would want things.
He's a cool guy. Yeah.
And he's cool if I bring my buddies from Barney's Beanery down
of course.
Here.
Yeah,
of the
course.
Bar.
Are you sure?
You know Todd.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Easy.
I got like 20 guys coming down.
Because I'm the sub, so I don't really know. I got to trust you.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, they're cool.
Okay.
All right. Because I just want to say, I don't want to have to report back that Todd was. That you guys misbehaved. But if I have to put your name on the board, I will. And I'm going to do that. And then if you continue to misbehave, I will do a check next to it. And if you continue after that, there will be two checks.
But Mr. Martin, yes. Todd always lets us bring our buddies from the bar.
All right.
It is true.
If you say so.
And he always lets us come in.
I actually used to be a substitute teacher when I got out of...
I used to have substitute teachers.
It's the word. I was a sub in Santa Ana School District. And... you always wanted to get high school. Middle school was the worst. But it was a good way. It was like stand-up. It was like a hell gig that lasted 8 hours, and you got like $70.
Mm-hmm. But you're getting laid. Sorry. Sorry. That was a bad joke. Oh, boy.
Only in the middle school, you mean, right?
You get to meet a waitress now and then.
That's right.
Stay in the comedy the school condo. What? Is that how it works?
It is.
You got radio in the morning.
Yep.
Sure, I'm well familiar with it.
Yeah, after I got out of UC Irvine, and I bring up UC Irvine not just to brag, but we have a guest here that went to UC Irvine, Samantha Varela, who's here.
Hi.
Works on the Mark Maron podcast, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for passing me the mic. I know Todd likes it when we move the mics a lot.
He does. That's one of the things we forgot to mention. That's true.
Right. He's cool with that?
Yeah. Okay.
He prefers it.
Right? Tap the mic if you want.
Do you want to say something?
Hey, how's it going? Would you like the mic for a little bit?
Yeah, let's pass it off.
I'll take it.
Okay. Oh, I bet Todd's going
guys,
nuts
can you,
listening to that.
Is that enough mic movement?
Oh, no, he loves it. Sorry. Yeah, Todd loves that.
He's going nuts with happiness.
All right. Well, later on, Sam is going to... She's going to sing something for us. I think you're all going to enjoy. And also here we have Stephen Fine Arts, who you know from Eddie Pepitone movie, The Bitter Buddha. Is that right?
That's great. That's right, Tom. It's nice to meet you, buddy.
It's good to meet you too. And he's from Chicago, which I am too. So we have a lot of connections going around here. And
it's frightening.
It is. It is right. And Chris is from Cincinnati, which is in Ohio, which is kind of in the Midwest. So.
This is true.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Stephen Fine Arts, by the way, we were talking about this before the show, and we assumed that he had gotten the joke a lot, you know, you're a filmmaker and fine arts.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that I never did it, and I think there's two reasons. One, I first saw your name written, and then I heard it out loud, so I always pictured it written, so I just knew it wasn't, you know, the same thing, obviously.
You thought it was fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you were saying that maybe the joke was too easy, and it reminded me of a story. We used to have this friend in high school whose name was John Smallcock.
And, no.
Yeah, no, it
Are
was.
Are you serious?
That was his last name, Smallcock.
How was it spelled, Henry?
It was Smallcock. No, for real.
So it's the Russian.
It was like, so.
That's perfect.
Obviously, you know, I mean, that's his last name, but we were all thinking, oh, that's interesting. It's like Smallcock, like he has a small penis. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
wait, hold up. Oh yeah, you could take it that way too. I was thinking of rooster,
but we never really made fun of him about it because we figured he probably had that happen.
That was really thoughtful.
We were probably like, yeah, well, probably back in kindergarten, probably the earliest. As soon as somebody saw that his name was Smallcock, the first joke was made. But it turns out, and this is fascinating psychologically for this guy, because when he was in kindergarten, the kids thought that the joke Smallcock was too obvious. And they didn't make fun of him because they just go, well, I'm sure somebody already did it in, you know, preschool or whatever goes on before kindergarten. And so he went through his life never having anybody make fun of his name, Smallcock. And I guess that when he was in his 30s, he was in a taxi and he was paying his bill with his credit card. And the taxi driver looked at the last name and he goes, Smallcock. Oh, like you got a small cock. And he had never heard that joke before, and he had never been made fun of before. He had this sort of immunity. He was living in a bubble, and he had this breakdown. He just was like, oh, my God, I've never been made fun of before. And he wound up shooting a lot of people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's the story of John Smallcock.
Wow, that's a really great story.
That's we can crazy. Cut that if
it's,
you want.
It's, no, it's, you know what's amazing about John Smallcock?
John Smallcock.
Was,
he's still a good friend of mine.
He probably had Smallcock pride all the way through. If he didn't make that connection, he encountered just the right number of people who had a good sense of humor or an advanced sense of humor to not go for the obvious
joke. Well, he went to a very good school. But anyway, fine arts, it takes a little. But you say you got, what were some of the words that people called you?
I got fine farts a lot. That
See, that's
lot.
Better than making fun of the fine arts.
Yeah.
Fine farts.
Fine farts was a good one.
But they probably didn't even know about fine arts as a subject when you were really young. So they'd have to go for the simple rhyme, which I got too early on. My last name is Martin, and the only obvious rhyme for a third grader is fart.
So why did we all laugh when you said
that? See? The
it's
obvious
still
is
funny.
Sometimes funny, you know? Like, but that dropped, I would say, about 6th or 7th grade. Nobody touched that joke anymore. They wanted to go a little more clever.
They wanted
but
to do something else. Well, what's the more clever version?
I don't know.
Art and fart. See, like with fine arts, I would probably go ein farts. So it looks like you just misplaced the F, so there's a little bit more logic to it.
Yeah.
Or like, and you get an Einstein. Like, it's not Einstein, it's ein farts. I'm going to stop talking. All right.
Yeah, but fine arts is all, I get that it's fake. People think it's fake all the time.
Right,
in
it sounds.
Especially, so.
Yeah, it sounds like you selected that. In order
name.
To, because if you were going to pick a name for show business, that wouldn't help you. It might rub people the wrong way. Like, oh, Mr. Fine Arts. I guess you're going to be in fine. It's like getting a license plate if you're a doctor or studying, pre-med, going future doctor. It's just who would do that? It's putting too much pressure on it, and it's not going to help you. But
well, yeah, you normally
so fine arts
it.
Is it? Does it mean something else in a different language? And it turned out in English to sound exactly like fine arts.
I think it just means Jew. I don't know. It's a tough name. It's
but they,
a tough name.
You know, maybe at Ellis Island they didn't lop off the arts because you hear the name Fine a lot.
Yeah.
Larry Fine of the Three Stooges comes to mind.
I think it was Fine Geertz was the original name, and they changed it. Yeah, sounds exciting. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, see my. Original name, my given name is Henry Guitar Boy, and I was like, well, that's too obvious. I can't go ahead and be a guitar comedian,
So you changed it. You changed it to Phillips.
And when my middle name's Jokey, so it was Henry Jokey Guitar Boy. So I had to change it to Henry Phillips so that people don't, you know, because I don't want them to know what I do before I even do it, you know.
But seriously, is Phillips your family name, or did you change it? Did...
It was Henry Jokey Guitar Boy, and then we went with Phillips. So
it was a good choice.
No, the reason I ask is because I have the worst name for anything, because there's a Tom Martin in every field.
Oh, yeah.
And there's been Tom Martins who are comedians. There's other Tom Martins that are in the Writers Guild. What's that? Porn star Tom Martin.
There's a
Martins.
Brand of pants, I think.
Tom. I mean, it's such a common Martins? Name. Yeah. So I wish that I had a cooler name. And... Yeah, what am I going to do now? Tom Fine Arts? That's taken even.
Yeah.
It is taken. You want it?
Yeah. Hmm. Jokey.
I think we're getting a phone call, Tom. We don't...
A phone call, you say?
Yeah, Todd usually lets us take phone calls.
All right,
calls.
Let's hear it.
I have to play this.
Do we need reverb? Todd usually gets...
I don't know. Can I get reverb?
I'm just going to say, can we get reverb at random time? Yo, hi, Todd.
Todd.
Hey.
I have some words of advice.
Okay, I'm listening, Todd.
Remember one thing. Always use a lot of echo. People love it.
People love echo.
Use the voice box if you want.
Okay.
I should let you know, I did not let Daniel Kino use that. But if you want to use it, you can. You can use the phone voice. You can use the devil voice.
Okay, I'll do that.
Have fun. And remember one thing that's most important.
What's that?
If it's mentionable... It's manageable.
Hey, Chris, what was that? What about that song that cake song?
Oh, you just want? Oh, yeah, your intro.
My intro. Okay, we're starting the show now. Here we go.
Tom Martin's the guest host. Tom Martin's in charge. Todd put him there in his time of need because he's guesting and hosting and playing for Todd. It's Friday and I need to get my show on. Tom Martin's the guest host.
Yeah, couldn't you listen to that over and over again?
I think we could even do it one more.
Tom Martin's the guest host. Tom Martin's in charge. Todd put him there in his time of need because he's guesting and hosting and playing for Todd. It's Friday and I need to get my show on. Tom Martin's the guest host.
Yeah. You know, the best part about that is a cake song. I love the band Cake. I don't know if you guys like Cake. I love Cake. And
Tom Martin's the guest host.
And this is... Nobody's impressed that you know famous people or you went to high school with famous people. But my best friend growing up is Vince DiFiore, and he's the trumpet player of Cake. And I didn't know they were going to do this, and I can't wait to send that to Vince.
Now that's a good last name. DiFiore?
DiFiore.
Oh, yeah, it's cool.
But that's how most people pronounce it when they read it. So, yeah, that's cool. I really appreciate it. And what's the name of the guy who...
Joe McKenzie. From Portland.
And that's the one that they call Jingle Joe, right?
Oh, it is.
One they call Jingle Joe.
Tom Martin's the guest host. Tom Martin's in charge.
Hey, another thing that we were thinking about doing
sure.
is... You like comedy, right?
I'm okay.
But... All right. Do you ever, you know how you get a song stuck in your head, right?
Yes.
Maybe it's a jingle, a commercial, or a popular song you hear on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever got another comedian's bit stuck in your head? Maybe you've been there a week and you see the show 9-10 times.
Yeah, well, a lot of times you'll get the cadence of a comic in your head so that you start talking like that person all the time.
Right, yeah.
There's some comics that really do that to you, for sure.
Yeah, and I've noticed that like... Sometimes you hear it, and it isn't necessarily the best bit or a bit you like, but it gets stuck in your head.
Yeah.
So we went around, I asked these guys, and the one that comes to mind for me is like I think that I went on this spree of opening up for Wayne Cotter back in 1992.
Oh, I loved Wayne Cotter.
And so I
– That's awesome, actually.
I the bit that sticks in my head is he did this thing about the odometer, and he would say, when all the numbers on your odometer line up, is that a big moment for you? And I still, like, the cadence would stick in my head.
Yeah.
And here's the part that would really stick in my head. Afterwards, he would go, you look down, and you're waiting, and then you look up for that 1 second, and you go, oh, no, now I got to wait for another 1-1-1-1-1-1-1. And that's the part that stuck in my head for 25
oh,
years.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and go, oh, I got to wait for another 1-1-1-1-1-1-1.
That is
so
great.
I wonder if you guys have...
Well, yeah, Wayne Cutter, I mean, there's a few of his that stick in your head. Like, there was always, you know, my dad doesn't know anything about wine. He's like, I'll have the witte, and they're like, that's white, sir. The way he says
right.
it. Yeah, he's got such a cadence.
And there's another one he does, too, about his dad, too, is my dad always wants to take control of the barbecue, and I know how to set the briquettes up in just the right way. And he goes, gee, Dad, I never would have thought of a pile.
Thanks, Dad. I don't want what was the other one? I don't want Animal Kingdom. Yeah, no, he's great. You're throwing away that chair. All it needs is four legs and a back.
Right.
Dad, it's a tray. Yeah, he was great. That's weird for me to just go in. I'm like a comedy jukebox sometimes when you name a comic, but he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was. He still works, right? I mean, does like corporate stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wayne Cotter, look him up. He's fantastic.
This is where we need to hear that Tom Martin opening again.
Oh, yeah.
I need more confidence.
No, you're right.
Like right now.
You're
like,
totally right.
Oh.
Tom Martin.
I'm back! I was close. I was starting to ebb a little bit.
It's a shot in the arm.
There's a lot of pressure filling in the Todd Glass seat here.
Yeah.
All right. We're with Henry Phillips, who's a terrific magician and no musician. And he brought his guitar here. And at some point, we want Sam to sing something for us. And here's the deal. Todd is a humble, humble man. The last thing he wants to do is brag. So what I did is I insisted. I said, Todd, you like music, and I know you're uncomfortable when people say nice things about you. So when you're not here, would it be okay if we had a singer come in and sing some of your positive reviews on iTunes? You know, Todd says this. He'll say, I don't want to read the positive reviews. They're there. It's not that I don't appreciate them. But it would just not look right if he were to do that. But Sam.
Hello.
Sam, who went to UC Irvine.
Yeah.
Woo! Is going to maybe put some of these positive reviews to music. And is there one in particular that you're going to start with, Sam? Because maybe we can give the writer of the review a shout out, too.
Yeah, we might need more light.
Just give me a style of music and I'll do it.
Style of music? Let's do... there's so much pressure.
No, there's not. There's no pressure at all.
Or just start singing and I'll follow you.
Try one that we're not even recording. Somebody turned off the recording button right now.
Oh, okay. That takes the pressure off.
Yeah, see?
Oh, wait. We're not recording right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
This was all practice.
Hey, I don't want to tell the audience this, but that small cock story, that was all bullshit.
I also
really?
Yeah, yeah. Did you guys?
I
just didn't want you to think that was a real story.
Also,
I'm totally joking.
I don't know if it's because I'm...
It seems so real.
Yeah, but now that we're not recording, I wanted to let you know that.
But also, I don't know if it's because I'm a girl, but I didn't get the joke. What is it, small cock? What's the joke?
His name sounded like he had a small penis.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. But nobody ever called him that because they thought the joke was too easy. But it was a bullshit story. There really wasn't a guy.
I
want the listeners to think that this,
right, okay,
that's a
yeah,
true
we won't
story.
Put this part
okay,
in.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah.
All right, so now let's sing. We could do a blues, you know.
Just make it up?
Yeah.
It's called Podcast Listener, and it's from Tomba65. So let's see. Douglas is just such a genuinely likable person.
So good.
Oh, this is scary.
This is great. This is exactly right. Go, Sam.
It's like listening to the coolest person you know. Move on to another one.
So good. so much better than I thought
terrifying.
It would be.
Let's do it. Let's go. I know. I thought it was going to suck.
So good.
Let's go to Loungy right here.
Loungy.
Okay. All right. So this review is called Hands Down the Funniest Podcast on the Internet by Nathan Austin. I don't know if that's a name, place, or what. We'll see. The best show for morning commutes. My wife hates when I listen to it at bedtime because I wake up with bursts of laughter. So somewhere in between those times is probably the ideal time to listen. I listen to a lot of podcasts and no one of them even comes close to how
Oh my God, this is great.
I'm 100% blacking out right now.
Let's
really?
It's
so beautiful.
I don't know what's happening. Okay. I can deal with that. Alright. Sorry, PF eats kids. I'll do better. It's like morning talk radio, but actually good. Todd and Co veer wildly between topics and bits and take you along for a hilarious ride. Listening to this podcast makes me crack up in that totally unexpected way that makes you spit your cereal all over the table. It feels like hanging out with good friends when everyone's in a great mood. The show feels very loose, but probably is very precisely orchestrated. You never know when you're about to be led into a bit. Unpredictable, hilarious, and often very informative. Todd has a lot of progressive ideas about social issues, and he often makes me see things from a different point of view. Kudos, great show. I've listened to every episode, and I will continue to do so. How funny is this podcast? Well, I've sprayed coffee and various other drinks all over my computer monitor while listening to it. I need more wind. Wipes. I blame this on Todd Glass and the many hilarious comedian guests he has on the show. Bit after bit, I can't get enough of it. That is why, Todd, you can never stop recording episodes. If you do, I'll have way too much time on my hands not cleaning my monitor. And I'll have to pick some stupid hobby like finding a girlfriend. All right, there's a P.S.
Jesus, this guy's long.
No, it's intense. P.S. If you want to spray coffee all over your entire house, skip straight to any episode with Paul F. Tompkins. They work so well together. And the bit where Paul is acting as a smoothie owner at Todd's gym literally almost killed me. Seriously, it was scary, but totally worth it. Better than grilled cheese.
Oh my God!
That was better than grilled cheese.
Oh, that was
still terrifying.
Sam, first of all,
still terrifying.
That was fantastic. If I had that kind of talent, I would never stop singing. I would just be singing constantly. But there you are. You're sitting there, and we don't know this talent about you, and then you break out with nervousness on top of it, and it was so fantastic.
I still don't know what happened. You know, I'll have to listen to it later.
Well, that was great. Yay. And that just shows you the kind of talent that's coming out of UC Irvine these days.
Will Todd be okay with it? Did I move the mic too
much?
My
gosh.
You should perform Blacked Out more often.
You'll be fine. There's a couple of little pointers I could give you.
Yes,
singing-wise.
Please.
Yeah. Well, first, how relaxed are you?
On a scale of 1 to 10, -5.
Okay, just try this. Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather. Say it 5 times fast.
Do you have that recorded still?
I do.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
I don't know
but can you do that? Can you do that?
Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather. That. I can only do a little.
Okay, yeah, see, you're very tense. You're very tense. Listen to me. Red leather, yellow leather. See, I'm really good at it.
Yeah. We got to find that on the board if we do. Do you know what he's talking about, Sam, last time?
I learned from a very good
Henry
singing
was
teacher.
Here. He had this top
here, let's try
teacher.
This other one. Here we go. Repeat after me. Some.
Some.
No. Some.
Some.
No. Listen to how relaxed my voice is when I say it. Some.
Some.
No. No, you were closer earlier. Some. Just quickly, just some.
Some.
Okay. Well, here, Tom, try it. Here, some.
Some.
Yeah, see how he did it?
See? It's not that hard.
It's perfect.
I'm sorry, guys.
I'm trying to channel my singing teacher.
Hey, can I do one thing?
Sure.
It's probably not as entertaining and funny as what we've just experienced, but my grandfather, who was born almost exactly 100 years ago, William Power... Bill Power, born May 10th, 1913, was a professional singer, and unfortunately, his problem was he had a degree in chemical engineering and was on his way to having 5 kids, so he gave up his dream of being a singer. But it just turned up recently that we found a recording of him from 1949 singing Danny Boy, and Danny Boy is a song that we seem to hit a lot on this show. So in honor of my grandfather's 100th birthday, and to prove that someone in my family did have singing ability at one time besides me, maybe we could play a little bit of my grandfather singing Danny Boy in 1949. And you know, don't play the whole thing, just play a little bit of it and we'll cut out of it.
Okay. Just let me know when you want to play it.
All right, go ahead. I'm going to cry, but then I'm going to stop. I'm starting again. Here's the hard part. I thought I would throw that out there to prove that someone in my family had talent at one point. But also, if you listen to it and if you can really crank up some of the pops and crackling sound, it really, really makes you cry.
Mm-hmm.
We're Irish people, so it's sort of a test of Irish. If you're an Irish guy that doesn't box or drink, you're going to want to be able to sing Danny Boy just to prove you got something.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like a mind reader.
Tom Martin's in charge. Tom put him there.
With the crackle.
Because he's guesting and hosting and playing for Todd. It's Friday and I need to get
all right.
My show on.
Enough of that.
Tom Martin's
Vince DiFiore. That's going to be my ringtone. Okay. Henry, as a stand-up comedian,
mm-hmm.
and me as a former stand-up comedian who has recently started doing stand-up again at the West Side Comedy Place there in the alley.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried that my comedy is suffering because now I'm 48 and I'm not angry anymore. I'm not like – and I like everyone and I wish everyone well, and I'm finding that – do you need to be angry about something, or is my growing compassion for people a barrier for me to make good people or make good material that people will like? Like, have you tackled that at all? Are you facing it?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of anger. It doesn't come out, my act doesn't come out like I'm angry, but there is a lot of friction there. But, I mean, I don't think not being angry is a factor of age, you know? You can be pretty angry. I always thought you get angrier the older you get.
I've gotten less angry.
Yeah.
I mean,
you might just be happy. Maybe try to do some self-destructive
really?
Things. Are you married?
I am married.
Oh, yeah, leave her.
Okay.
Just for no reason.
No reason.
And just say, I'm sorry. Fuck
that,
you.
That might help me
yeah,
find
and
some
And then
material.
What you'll do is you'll feel a lot of pain because you just did such a stupid thing and then try to get her back and she's going to be like, why would I go back to you? And then you're a comic again.
Oh, this could work.
Yeah.
Should I get a drug problem or anything?
Yeah, drugs is... That's good. Yeah, you'll have a lot of stories. I don't know how much longer you'll last. Yeah, drugs is all part of it, I'm sure. I've heard.
Are you married? You're not married, are you?
No, are you kidding? No.
Are you going to get married?
I doubt it. I don't know.
Is there a girlfriend that you listening to this would be disappointed if you heard your casual
no,
I doubt
no.
it?
No, I think most of the people I hang out with realize it's not... it's just not an institution that I'm really big on, you know, the whole...
Well, what institutions are you big on, Henry?
I like the Institute of Fine Arts.
Oh!
Which,
that's in Chicago, right?
Yeah, exactly. to call back. That's a callback, guys, out there.
We're with the pro. I'm so glad you're here, Henry.
I'm working on a new thing here, and maybe you guys could help me with it. And, Tom, you've been out of stand-up for a little while
16
now.
Years. I took a 16-year break.
Well, the whole industry's changed, and this really kind of sucks. But
well, I will say this real quick, that I talked to Blake Wexler about how much he gets paid compared to what I got paid 20 years ago, and it's the same. And that's a little disturbing.
Well, in some places it is. What the biggest difference is the way they pay you. They used to pay you based on either how popular you were or if you're on a door deal, how many people show up. Now they pay you based on how many jokes you tell per minute.
So you get a counter.
But yeah, and the weird thing is that in the contract, nothing ever says that the joke has to be funny or good or anything. It's totally weird the way they're doing it now. So I've been working on a new act here, and I want to just run a little bit of
it. Swear to God, this is true?
Yeah. And I think this is going to be a big money maker for me. Again, the jokes, they don't even need to make sense in any way. They just have to have the requisite
setup. Do you have any examples of like the kind of quick jokes?
Well, the quicker, yeah. Like, for example, guy walks into a bar, says, hey, I want a Mai Tai. Bartender says, Mai Tai, I haven't had that since college. All right, that's one joke. You get five bucks right there.
Wow.
Guy falls down the stairs, gets up, says, oh, fuck. The other guy says, I don't know, but my ass sure hurts. All right, so that's two. So now I'm at $10.
But you're just throwing matching setups and
in the contract,
don't go together.
You can argue that. You can say, hey, look, you never said anything about it making sense.
Wow, and this is helping draw people to the club.
Guy goes to get a hooker, says, how much for a blowjob? She says, $5. He gives her 10 and says, keep the change. Turns out it wasn't a hooker. It was his wife. All right, so now what I did there, that's a tag.
What are you, 250?
The wife part, I get 250 for a tag. So what are we at now, 1750? And the club owner usually counts them all while you're saying them, and that's how they tell
you. Are there ever disputes, like where you got to go over slow motion or anything?
Yeah, sometimes they'll play the tape back, and you'll argue about whether it was a tag or a joke, you know. But here's one that's a little bit more complicated. Gets pulled over by a cop, and the cop says, give me your driver's license and registration. The guy says, I don't have that stuff. Why don't I just show you my dick? Yeah. Turns out it wasn't a cop. It was the mayor. So they're dating now. All right, so that was two tags. So, I mean, it's really a $10 joke because I did five. And then, but sometimes the club owner will be like, you know, you can't really do two tags. But anyway, right there in the space of about a minute...
$25.
I managed to make everybody turn off the podcast, but I did make $30.
Henry,
what did I make, 25?
Now, how does seriously, I don't know your material. I've only met you on the show, and then we had dinner afterwards, but you were so fucking funny.
Oh,
now,
that's nice.
I haven't seen you on stage. How does this material you've just put here compare to the kind of thing that you would do on stage?
It's funny that you say that. I was in Minneapolis a couple weeks ago, no joke, and I was doing that very bit.
Uh-huh.
And right in the middle of it, some guy in the audience yells, not funny.
Oh fuck.
Yeah.
See, this is fascinating to me, because if I was in the club and I saw you do that bit, you'd be like on the top of my list of comedians.
Thanks, man.
But then I know how it is, because that's not what a lot of people going to clubs want to hear. So I'm wondering, how do you manage that minefield of pleasing yourself and the audience at the same time?
It's tough. But when that guy said that, I was in such a good mood, and I was having a decent show at the moment, and I was just kind of like, you know what, you're right, sir. It's not funny, and people aren't laughing. It's not working, so I'm going to do something else. I don't want to put you through the rest, because that bit actually goes for 70 minutes. So it's a long time. And I was in minute 45 when the guy said that, so he had every right. And the place was closing, you know.
Did you ever work Utah, where they do have weird payment scales?
Oh, like, really?
Where I was working in Salt Lake City, and it was a Mormon area. Actually, it was Provo, Utah. And the club owner said, if you don't swear, we give you a $100 bonus at the end of the week.
Wow.
And I said fuck or shit or whatever on the first show. And then I'm like, fuck, there goes my $100 bonus. And I explained to the audience, like, now I'm not going to get my $100 bonus because you don't swear. And so then I just became the most filthy comedian ever. I was just saying,
well,
fuck,
they don't
shit.
Give you any incentive.
Right. And then after that show, the owner is coming up, Terry, I think his name is, like, if you, okay, we'll start over from here on out. If you don't swear, we'll give you $100.
That's hilarious.
And yeah, so.
And then you did it again the next night.
I actually wanted the $100 more than I wanted to swear.
It's weird because I do swear in my act, and I don't have a problem with it. I did a show recently where they wanted me to be clean, and I was up there, and like before I even started my material, I said something like, oh, fuck this, you know, and then I was like, oh, I just said fuck, like the first thing that I said. And then I was in my head the whole time. I'm going, geez, how did I do that?
I said a word on TV that I didn't know you couldn't even say. I was doing the MTV Half Hour Comedy Hour back in, you know, 1902.
Yeah.
And I said the word scumbag, and they bleeped it. And I'm thinking, wow, everybody heard my act before. They approved it. But then before it aired, they bleeped out the word scumbag, and I didn't know that it meant a used condom. But even if it did mean that, why would they bleep it?
That.
Yeah, it does.
Scum?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Scum was a word before.
I've been called it a lot. I did the research.
No, I mean, yeah, I was really interested in this. Why the hell they would bleep it? And so I researched it. It's what it means. I mean, it doesn't mean that to us anymore. It just sort of means.
Well, what about jerked chicken?
Jerked
chicken. Can you say that?
Yeah, you can say that, strangely.
Because you're not actually doing it. But you can't say they jerked me around, because that would be referencing.
Well, you know what? It gets into how words evolve. And scumbag just means a lout or a guy you don't like anymore.
Yeah.
I said lout. No one says that. I don't even know why I use that one. But it gets to the question of, like, oh, my God, I just lost my train of thought. But anyway.
Well, it's like in France they have this expression, je m'en fous, which means I don't care. Mm-hmm. And I, when they told me that, I was like, okay, you don't care, but that's not what the thing's saying. And they say, well, technically, literally, it means I jerk off on that. That's what it means. But it's like...
Are you serious?
Yeah, I am.
Is this and, like and small
they,
cock
they
or is
say,
this real?
No, this is real. So they... But it's one of those things that's been,
right.
You know, done so... Like when people say, that sucks... They're not literally thinking of, you know, but I'm sure it originally was sucking a penis or something like that. But everybody says that sucks. So that's what they have out there. But, I mean, can you imagine that? It's like, you know, hey, so, you know, you're getting a ticket. Oh, I jerk off on that. You know, it's just like, but you know, like the president says it. It's not right. A big deal to them. But I was on, I think it was on a show called Late Friday on NBC, and I used to have this joke where I would be like, anyway, this is a song that I wrote for the girl that I was seeing in my eighth year of community college, and, you know, we were just having a great time, great sex, you know, whatever. Anyway, I wrote this for her on her 13th birthday, and I want to share it with you. All those jokes sound so much worse now than it. Back then, it was so obvious that it was a joke.
Right,
but now
right.
We're all so jaded. We're just like, oh, that's so gross, you know. But it's because this is before, like, even the, you know, any of these, you know, stories were so graphic, you know, JonBenet and all that stuff. But anyway, I just remember it was sort of a fun joke back then, and everybody enjoyed it.
But yeah, the network said, yeah, you can't say that. And I was like, all right. And the lawyer's like, well, maybe you could say I wrote this for her on her 18th birthday. And I mean, I was like 26 or something at the time. And I'm like, well, that's not weird enough. That's kind of just like, you know, whatever. And so what I told them I would say is I'll say, well, I wrote this for her on her 75th birthday. So then now it's at least weird. But so when – and it was live. And so when I did the show, I think I just went with – I wrote this on her 13th birthday. And I did it because I had done I have done it 1,000 times prior to that.
Uh-huh. Right, so it rolled out that pretty, way.
Yeah, just rolled out.
Yes, I know. I know the feeling.
Which made me think. Remember that historic moment, and they did it in the Doors movie, Oliver Stone or whatever, when he says we couldn't get much higher. And they made it like, oh, he's this total badass, you know, hero or whatever. It's like, I'll bet you anything. He just said that because he had said it so many times and was in the moment and just not thinking about it. And everybody was like, whoa, wow, that takes so much balls. He totally just said, screw you.
No, it rolled out that
way. I'll bet anything it rolled out that way.
A certain ways and a thousand times.
And he was
times.
Probably like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sure Jim Morrison was like, oh, well, guys, I can't believe I did good. That.
Because I once did – they had this terrible show on NBC called – you know, it was like some late Friday night comedy show where they would get comedians to come in there and record them doing stand-up with no audience. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that show? Anyway, I get out there and it's just lights and vacant nothing, and I blanked out. And the approved material was just gone because it was a jumbled list of jokes that I never would have done in that order. And I just rolled out some material that I'd done 10,000 times before. And I was like Sam was saying, I didn't even know what I was saying, but it just came out.
Yeah.
And so that's where that sort of doing it a million times can save your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense, yeah. I mean, we have these security blankets when we're up there that we can just kind of get right into and then and feel so comfortable, you know?
Yeah, now... You had mentioned that you're gonna go. Can we talk about you?
Sure.
You mentioned you're going on the road and you want to try
this week. Yeah. So it'll. I don't
where
know
are you going? Maybe we could plug it.
I'll be
quick.
In Omaha.
That's in Nebraska, right?
In Nebraska. Uh-huh. Yeah, at the Funny Bone. And I'm specifically doing it because I wanted to get better at just doing stand up. And usually when I'm doing my act at a comedy club with the guitar as a headliner or whatever, if I get in trouble, I'll bail on the stand-up and just grab the guitar.
Right.
And
so in other words, if you feel like the audience has got a lull, you might go to the guitar as a way to amp up the energy.
And do the older material because I know what I'm doing, you know, and I know that I can have a good show,
right?
A decent show. But this time, I'm not bringing the guitar. I'm not even bringing it on the plane with me. I'm just going to be doing stand-up as the opening act.
Not even bringing it on the plane?
Yeah.
Gosh, I can see you midweek. What if you run into a store and buying a
That would be guitar. Funny. I'm over there. There's a guitar store right next door. Can anybody get that for me? I'll pay for it.
No, but keep going.
No, but yeah, so I'm going to do all stand-up. And so that means that if I run into trouble up there, which I probably will, I'm going to have to get out of it by doing stand-up, which is what all you guys had to do. And so it's like that's the only way to get good at
it. See, but what I'm saying is that we still have our crutches, too. We have our go-to stuff that always
works. Well, I need
to
get some of those that aren't the guitar, you know? Nervous about it. But you got to get out of your comfort zone.
That's true. Yeah.
And by comfort zone, I mean bed. You got to get out of bed sometimes. I don't, but other people do, and I heard it's good.
That is good. Yeah, we nailed it. I am. Todd never needs to come back. It's really funny sitting in this. I'd like to be where Mr. Fine Arts is over there, pot-shotting. It's so much easier to just sit on the wings and lean into the microphone when you have a funny idea.
When you got something.
And then you go back and you drink another beer, and then you like chime in again at 20 minutes later. I realize Todd really has to pay attention during the whole show. It's a lot harder.
No, it's not easy.
Yeah.
By the way, yeah.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Joe McKenzie. And Chris, what's up with Joe McKenzie?
Oh, he actually has a band called Someday Tricycle, or you can look up CD Baby. They're both on iTunes.
iTunes. And, that, is that a popular site for music?
I believe so, yeah. I think it's right up there with Napster and, yeah, LimeWire, you know, things that are really current.
Well, Jingle Joe is awesome. He's a very big talent. And as a non-musical person, I may have mentioned that before, I am impressed with musical people.
Yeah.
Sam and Henry. But also, last week we had this clip of this future great singer, this girl who's this young girl who's forcing herself to play that Whitney, to sing that Whitney Houston song. Play it and listen to her, how she's struggling to find, to hit the notes. And I want to hear what you guys think about it.
Okay.
And yeah. Oh my God. I'm sorry. Let me do it again. And and yeah. Oh, I'll always love you. Oh, fuck. Alright. And
All right. So she's putting this pressure on herself to hit these notes.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Well, it's singing is a very frustrating thing. It leads to alcoholism.
It's a fragile art.
It's very difficult. As soon as you mess up, you scream, you yell, you throw things, you hurt people. And I know how she feels, and she's in for a life of pain. It's struggling. Now, if I could have given her some of my vocal tips,
right,
I think it would have been okay.
Maybe we could call her. Maybe she'd want to try to give have vocal. Maybe we could give her vocal tips
on
the song.
The phone. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Why not, right? Yeah, let's hear.
Oh, that's just the, you know, our phones are doing that again.
Oh.
Oh, I think I got her. That was quick.
What's her name?
Okay, hi.
That's she's how she not even really, the phone?
Yeah, she's not even giving us a chance. It seems like she just sings.
She's almost there. Can I talk to her?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, now on the next note, just try to relax your jaw a little bit. Let's hear how that sounds. There you go.
That's
coming.
That's better.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No. Don't get all stressed out. It's coming. Here, try this. Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather. Five times. Do it. No, you got to do the red. Hey, what are you? Come on. I can't work with this. You know what? You suck. You suck. You should be upset with yourself.
Even on the phone, she can't let it go.
Yeah, just do what I'm telling you. Here, try this. Some. Now, some. Okay, yeah, I can't work with her.
Always love you.
Well, it's because you suck, and that's
all right. So
somehow she's
even
broken through the phone.
Hanging up.
I don't even know what's happening now. It's okay. I just got
okay. Now, you seem to have this talent of singing. And you have a very clear singing ability, but you also have another secret talent of being able to cook.
Now, yes.
Are you able to cook, or is it?
I am. I'm decent. You know what I'll do is I'll go on YouTube and I'll watch cooking videos, and then I'll try to make my own. And I actually tape mine, and I have a series called Henry's Kitchen where people can see me.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Cooking.
And now this is fascinating to me because What made you think of this the first time? And did you think that it would be as big as it was and that you'd be doing so many of them?
Yeah, I mean, the first one that I did, I was laughing the whole time I was doing it. So I was just like, oh, this could be really funny, you know. And I put it out there, and then all my friends liked it. And then
these
the
are hilarious.
One
so if they're searching on YouTube, just if
Henry's
you search
Kitchen.
Henry's Kitchen, yeah. Or even Henry Phillips, it'll
you
come
do
up.
Henry Phillips Kitchen, yeah.
Yeah.
If you go to Henlips, the YouTube channel Henlips, it'll show you, you can see the whole series. But yeah, the second one I did, I don't know, it was one of those things where everything came together and it was just like the perfect timing or whatever, and it really kind of went viral there.
Would like HGTV ever be into
I don't think anybody's interested in that on that level. It's just people watching it on YouTube.
What about getting more sex out of it? Is it at least you know, like women are like, oh, we can cook.
Well, it's unfortunately it's not a flattering side of me that I'm showing. You know? Yeah, there's a lot of. I even have a little song.
Oh, well, let's hear.
I do. This is sort of the theme song for the show. Help me make it through the night, 'cause I am tired and alone. Help me make it through the night, 'cause I don't like myself anymore. I guess I'm just not interesting. I have no personality. I met a guy with cancer, and he felt sorry for me. I'm always coming in last place and getting dirt kicked in my face. And all I really need's a little hug. Help me make it through the night, 'cause I don't like myself. I mean, it's just a gunshot.
Woo! Yeah, beautiful.
So that gives you an idea of what that cooking series.
You know what that makes me think of is that, like Sam talked about some of the self doubt that that she has about her singing, and I'm a wreck. Guest hosting because it's something I've never done before, and so I'm nervous. But what you're talking about in that song is something I think a lot of people can relate to, is sort of this kind of negative self-talk that's going on. And I'm wondering, yeah, like, what does that serve? You know, it doesn't, like, help
yeah.
you.
Yeah, so you should be more positive.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, like, why is it so universal? Like, why?
It's cathartic, maybe?
But
I don't know.
But it doesn't. Does it help us? I mean, I guess the only way I could see where the kind of negative self-talk that you put in that very funny song, by the way, because people relate to it, is it that our fear of rejection or performing or whatever it is that makes us so hard on ourselves? The only thing I can think of is that when we were in tribal situations,
yeah,
is the idea of being an outcast makes you so safe that you're going to make sure you do what you're supposed to do in those confines. And now we're in a different setting, so it doesn't serve us anymore to have that.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it definitely hasn't served me.
I know. And I'm wondering, like, there's some people that just love their stuff so much, and I think they always seem a little weird.
Yeah, no, it's always weird to me when somebody loves the art that they make or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example of like, I relate to that song way too much, but I'll give you an example of, if I listen to myself on the podcast, it's so hard for me to hear my voice, to just cringe. And then the things I say to myself about my voice, like, if I said that to another person about their voice, I'd be the biggest asshole in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I said, it's like, oh, what a stupid voice. Oh, I sound so bad there. Like, if I said that to another person, it would sound terrible. So why would I do that to myself? And then, more importantly, how does one get over that kind of criticism of themselves? Do you have any of that experience that I'm talking about? Like, do you have any problem seeing yourself on TV or hearing yourself or watching videos?
I mean, to be honest with you, not as much as I used to. I think I used to.
How do you get over it?
I think just by doing it, you know, people giving you positive reinforcement, you know.
Yeah.
It takes a long time.
And yeah, I guess so.
By the time it happens, you don't really want to do it anyway. So, yeah, so it's really kind of ironic.
Well, yeah, I guess you see it happen. Like, I remember when the mayor, Villagrosa,
yeah,
and our mayor in Los Angeles, when he was first elected, his speeches were lame and his tone of voice was terrible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so maybe it's like what you're saying. You just get used to it, and you're forced to watch yourself. And you get a little more
polished. Anything.
But anyway, I wish there was a shortcut past it. Now that we've talked about that, the uselessness of the negative sort of self-talk, I wonder if Sam has a song she'd like to sing.
Yeah.
I wish you had the Whitney Houston song on there.
I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. That's later, too.
We'll cut this out, right?
I will. If I can let her recording. I will after
Wait, are we on the air right now?
I don't know.
Well, because
we'll probably cut this out.
I just want to say that that whole thing about the clubs where they pay you for the joke, that was bullshit.
Really? It seemed real.
Yeah, no, I don't want
the
audience to... Yeah, no, it's just sort of a bit that I'm doing, but I want the audience to think that's really how you play.
Now we have to leave.
Really? It seemed real.
Okay.
All right, well.
All right, there
that's going to blow some minds.
Just wanted to say, are we back?
Can we turn that on, Eric? It's not on.
The pipes are calling. This is not right. It's too fast. I can't. And down the mountain side. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. The summer's gone. And all the flowers are dying. Tis you, tis you. You know, I didn't have the right thing to practice after. I'm on a different... But when you come back, when summer's in the meadow... Okay, I think I got it now. Oh, when the valley's hushed and white with snow... It's fancy.
Nice.
Tis I'll be here in sunshine. Oh, I only did the first part of it. I'm sorry.
That was good. Very good.
There were a lot of mistakes.
No, it was great.
No.
And
no.
It was great.
No.
It was good.
I think we have another message from Todd, right?
We do.
Let's hear what he has to say. He's probably bugged this room.
Tom, don't forget to do I've Got a Lovely Bug. Tom, don't forget to do I've Got a Lonnie Bunchy. God! Stop! Sorry. Tom, it's Todd. Don't forget to do Lotta Bunchy. Jesus! Tom, it's Todd. Don't forget to Lonnie Love. Tom, don't forget to do a Lonnie Bunchy, a Lonnie Coconutty. Why can't I do this? Tom, it's Todd. The song, I've Got a Lonnie Bunchy, Lonnie Funch and Bunchy, Conkanuts and Bunchy. No, why can't I just leave this message? Okay, stop. I'm like that girl that gets mad because she can't hit the note.
What a coincidence.
Lonnie Tommy, it's Lobby, Lonnie Bunch of Conkanachi, Mata Lonnie Bunchy.
my God, that's even worse. Tom, it's Todd. Don't. Tom, it's Todd. Lana Buncha, Lonnie Khan, and Lana Buncha Khan, Alana. Oh my God, it's like I'm not even trying now. Lana Buncha Khan, no, Tom, the song that I sent you. Okay, there we go. The song that I sent you on YouTube, Lana Buncha, Lana Khan, Lana Buncha Klonopin. Klonopin, the Klonopin. I've got a lovely bunch of Klonopins. That doesn't even make any sense. What is wrong with me? Tom. Okay, take a deep breath.
Wow, he's really overreacting. He's being hard on himself.
I think
Tom,
so.
Please he's don't worse forget than that to girl. Do the song, I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts.
All right, well.
Yes!
Okay. God! I think Todd's
I knew
trying
I had
to tell
it in
something.
Me. I knew I had greatness in me.
He's trying to tell us to. Do we have that lovely bunch of coconuts?
I don't know if we do.
Oh, we don't have it? No.
Yeah, I think that was a very random voicemail. I don't know if.
Well, he worked so hard to get that out.
I wish we had it.
I guess we could try to sing it. It's pretty. Right?
Well, do we have it on a recording of it, or do we have to sing? Because I'm a terrible singer.
I don't think we have a
Can we get Todd on the phone?
We could. Should we call
Yeah,
him?
Yeah. Maybe I'll give him some of my tips, and then he'll feel better about what he's doing.
Should we?
Yeah, give him a call. See what he's saying. Yeah. Do you guys know that song? I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are standing. This is how I sing. I talk. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Yeah. I never knew what they were saying.
Turn me down. Oh, wait. Never mind.
He's actually getting Todd on the phone.
Awesome.
Oh, my God. You can actually do that. Yeah. We'll cut this out, right? All right, good. So he might not pick up. He might be on stage somewhere. But we can leave a message.
Come on, Todd.
Come on, Todd. Pick up. We're all counting.
Almost went to voicemail, but I got it.
Hello.
Too good. Ah, the oldest trick in the book.
That's Todd's.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Todd, it's Tom. I'm guest hosting the Todd Glass Show. Can you hear me through this through this? Yeah, we're asking. I'm not sure if we have a clip of that song.
Lonnie and
Lonely Bunch of Fuck Nuts.
Fuck.
How do you say
it? I remember Klonopin was in there.
It's
Henry.
God. Fuck.
Well, we don't have that song that you were talking about. So we're having a fucking hard time.
Yeah, we don't know where to look. Okay, we'll call back later and we'll deal with it. And okay, so now here, just in general, fellas. Okay, I don't know if we're recording or not, but here's where we are. And
Tom, we still haven't started the podcast.
Oh, thank God that we did this rehearsal first. You guys stick around a couple more hours, right? Fuck yeah, because it was good to get a rehearsal out of your system. I can't tell you how happy I am that nothing was recorded, because now we're going to start fresh. Can you hit that cake song?
Yeah, to start, yeah.
Tom Martin's the guest host. Tom Martin's in charge.
Oh, yeah.
Saved it.
Thank goodness. Singing it. It is. All right. That's good. Thank you. Okay. Actually, seriously, we are now in the end zone doing our end zone dance. So I'm perfect. Like, my big thing getting here is like,
hey, we're getting a phone call.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Who could it be? Do you think it's Todd?
Who is it?
Yeah.
Do we put reverb on this?
Hello?
Hey. Is that Todd?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
How'd it go?
Can you hear us?
We're on the air.
Yeah. You're still recording? Oh, that's right. It's earlier there.
Hey, Todd. It's Tom. I'm the host of the Todd Glass Show.
Yes, this is Todd Glass.
Hi. Well, yeah, we don't really need you right now, but
We tried to do that song.
Yeah,
that
I have one question, and then I'd like you to just disappear again so I can take over your show. You know that you were trying to tell us to sing a particular song. I think it had the word. What was the name?
Lonnie Bunch of Kalapon.
Lonnie
Bunch of Kalanamanuts.
Lonnie Plastic Colostomy.
Bunch of salami cones. God damn it.
Do you remember? Do you remember what the song was?
I've got a Lonnie Bunch of Salami.
Oh.
Oh,
yeah.
I got a lousy colostomy.
I've got a bunch of salami ice cream cones.
Oh, shit.
Oh, hey, Todd, seriously, I don't know if we're going to get that song, but the most important thing, just between me and you, I'm fucking nailing it. I mean, yeah, I'm really carrying the weight for everyone here, but like, there's like you know, Henry's here.
Tom,
what?
I want you to sing that song. That's all I'm hoping for.
Oh, but yeah, you're breaking up.
What song?
Oh, wait.
Shut the fuck up. I'm not breaking up.
You're breaking up, Todd. Yeah, you gotta concentrate on your show. Okay.
Lonnie Bunch of...
Okay.
Cocky Bunch?
Cocky Bunch.
Connie Chung. Todd, seriously. Todd, seriously, where are you right now? Everybody wants to know.
Well, I'm in Hoboken, New Jersey, doing a college show.
Doing a college show in Hoboken, New Jersey?
Yes. By the way, Hoboken is beautiful.
No one cares. I mean, you already got the gig. I don't know why you're trying to suck up to Hoboken. Hey, Todd. Todd. I got to let you go right now. I'm doing the Todd Glass Show.
I have a question for you.
Oh, Todd. Chris has a question. I gave him a mic. I hope that's cool.
Why are you laughing? What did I say?
You said Hoboken was beautiful.
You said Hoboken was beautiful. Huh?
Well, obviously, you've never been here.
No, but I've heard jokes on late night talk shows, and they always say Hoboken.
Yeah, so why would on late night talk shows would they reference Hoboken as a punchline?
As a go-to.
Yeah, and then you say it's beautiful. It makes you seem like you're lying.
When you make fun of Hoboken, by the way, talk about things coming full circle. Because 20 minutes ago, I was talking to my friends that live here. I go, you know, if you make fun of Hoboken, it makes you. It makes you older. Because, yeah, 25 years ago, it was a shithole.
Oh.
If you're talking to somebody young and you make fun of Hoboken, they're like, oh, did that used to be a bad place? So you, Henry, are old.
Oh, wait.
Are you calling us hacks? He just called you a hack, Henry.
No. He's talking about Hoboken. That's beautiful. It's the one right, the PATH train, right? It's right on the other side of the river there, right? I thought you were talking about Hokoben, which is really it's a gross place. But I'm a hip, edgy, young comic, and there's no way that I would call Hoboken some kind of, yeah.
One serious question.
Yes.
Are you going to do I've Got a Lonnie Bunch of Conkin'
Lonnie? What?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Todd, if you could say it, maybe we could do it. I don't know what you're talking about.
I've got a lofty colostomy.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Oh. Todd, why didn't you say that? Okay, yeah. We're going to do I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts.
Do you want us to do it with you on the phone?
Yeah, you want to hear? Because Henry's taking out his guitar.
You're damn right I will. Hold on. I'm going to let my friends hear.
Here we go. I've got... You take us in.
I don't know how it goes.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are standing in a row.
This one, that one, one's as big as a plate. You guys aren't doing
this.
Yeah. We did it.
Yeah, did you hear that, Todd?
No, hold on. Stop everything. I'm not joking.
Okay, he's not joking. What's going on, Todd?
What's wrong?
Hello?
Should we stop the recording?
You're supposed to do it with the Merv Griffin version and sing along with it.
Oh, fuck. Give me the phone.
That.
All right. Did you download that?
No, we can do it on a break.
Okay. All right, Todd. We can
take a break and get that Merv Griffin one.
He's not fucking around. Todd, it's the one thing that... seriously, everything has gone great, and these guys downloaded all the shit we need, but for some reason, this one didn't get in. So this totally cut out. We won't ever hear this.
We're not moving the mic.
No. Shut the fuck up. Let's start walking. I can play this, but also take a break, learn the song, come back.
Take a break, learn the... Okay, we got you. All right, Todd, I got to let you go. I'm doing the Todd Glass podcast. Seriously, Todd. Todd, I got better things to do than talk to Todd Glass during the Todd Glass podcast. You're fucking up the Todd Glass podcast. Can I let you go?
There's nothing better than hearing the sound of Eric's laugh.
What about mine, Todd?
Yeah, what about it? Hey, hope it's cool. You know, they said as a substitute host.
My heart for you, Chris.
Aww. They said that I should give he said I should give him a mic. Chris said I should give him a mic. He said you always give him a mic because, you know, I don't know if they're telling the truth. I'm the sub. But anyway, we're going to find that thing. That was Todd Glass. He's our frequent guest on the Todd Glass Show. Well, we're going to let him go right now. Bye, Todd. And yeah, it's great to hear from him. He should come back more. Terrific guy. Funny guy. He's a comedian.
We could probably have him on in the next month or two. Maybe.
Yeah, we should book him.
Having Todd call in should be a reoccurring
bit. Yeah, we should. All right, so Todd seriously wants us to find this Merv Griffin clip, which maybe we can do. We'll take a break.
Recorded just a couple of years called I've
This is Merv Griffin from like the 50s.
Merv Griffin gonna sing that
he
thing?
Sure is.
I'm gonna sit over here and listen to
Merv,
it.
Y'all ready? Boys, here we go.
Here we go.
Down at an English fair.
Oh.
One evening
this is the part
there.
Nobody knows
when
of the song. So we'll let Merv take it in the beginning. Everybody.
There they are standing in a row.
Big ones, small
ones. Tom, wait, let's, because Todd really wanted to hear you do it, so should we start from where he comes in and have you start
all right,
and then we'll
all right.
join
okay,
later?
But I don't really sing, I talk, but go ahead.
Well, okay.
All right.
Bunch of coconuts.
One evening I was there,
here we go.
When I heard a showman shouting underneath the flare.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are standing in a row. Big ones, small ones, Bob.
Some as big as a head.
I'm going to have to talk after him. I don't know the words at this point. There they are, standing in a row. Big one, small one. No, what the fuck?
Something about his wife.
Fuck!
Fuck!
What the fuck?
Other people singing.
Maybe Todd expected us to rehearse this in advance and like
I got it. Fuck!
Because it doesn't seem like an easy version of the song to sing.
No.
Thanks, Todd, for throwing that our way.
Well, you know what, Todd? I think we're going to get Todd back next week.
Shout out to listener Todd Glass for sending this in. thanks, Todd.
No, this is killing.
Sorry,
Todd.
The bit.
This
didn't,
is
I know you're
Todd.
A big fan. Sorry, the
Todd
bit didn't really
not,
work out for you,
Todd. This is killing Todd for a couple reasons. We fucked up the bit he wanted to do best. Plus, Chris has a mic.
Sorry, Todd.
But when we get Todd back next week, maybe he can explain how he imagined this bit going. Because I don't really know. What I want to do is I want to get more to Henry, because my goal was to talk or fill about an hour, hour and a half, and I think we're very close to that. And if I could have done that, then I can go home and collapse from the exhaustion of just trying to do something like this. But what I want to know about Henry, who already is one of my favorite comedians, even though I've never seen him perform live. I've only seen his stuff on the YouTube channel and just spent some time with him. I have a feeling we know he's a singer. We know he's a comedian. We know he can cook. I'm wondering if you have any other secret talents that you're not letting us know about. Like, what is the one thing that you're good at that people don't even know? That maybe it's not show business. Maybe it's like, are you an artist? Are you good at a certain sport?
Carpentry.
Gosh.
Carpentry.
Well, we mentioned the music, the comedy, the cooking. Man, this is an awkward thing for me because I really don't think I have anything that I'm really specially
really
good at that I can think of.
Well, what's something we don't know about Henry Phillips that this is a chance? Because what I think, for personally, I'm not even kidding. Swear to George Carlin or whatever he says.
Yeah.
You are as good as anybody out there that's made it big. So what do we got to do to push you over the edge? And what is it that something you can open up with?
I have a tendency to self-sabotage my career. I think that's what happens. I think as soon as it starts going well, I tend to go, well, now I'm not in my comfort zone. I like it when things go poorly because I'm comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't know what to do if I had, like, extra money because I'd have to go to different bars and, you know, things like that. So,
and it's not like you're doing poorly. You're doing great. But, like, what is...
Well, I think...
But even so, there's still the amount of sabotage.
That might be the thing. So maybe we can all work on that. What do I do?
Yeah, what do you do? How do you get to the next level? And is it just being comfortable? In the same way that... now maybe you're used to seeing yourself and hearing yourself and more comfortable with yourself. Now, how do you get comfortable with the weight of being a well-known, successful comedian?
I have an idea.
Yeah, sure.
Have you ever thought about trying to do stand-up without your guitar? Maybe don't even bring it on the airplane.
Oh, Eric's on to something.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, don't even bring it with you.
Well, I actually do have that idea. I'm going to be doing that next week in Omaha.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. I am. Yeah.
Did you just think of it? Or?
I was just thinking that was a great idea.
And
I'm taking your advice.
What are the dates? We got to put some pressure on Henry. What are the dates you're going to be in Omaha?
Well, that's this week, but so I'm not sure when this is going to air. But
this Friday.
Friday.
Okay, well, everybody can go to San Francisco and see me on May 6th.
May 6th, will you have your guitar?
Yeah, there I will have the guitar because I'm headlining and I'm doing a full show. But I'll be doing a lot of stand-up.
We are in the time of... Yeah, you know what that means. First of all, I would like to say what a pleasure it's been to sit... What's this now?
Just music for you to talk how much pleasure you've had.
It's ending music.
Yeah. But... Before we...
This is Mark Maron playing you off from the other studio.
Mark Maron's banging on the door. You know what I wanted to say seriously is we're in this great studio atop Black Horse Motors on the Las Vegas Strip, as it says in the opening, which I don't know if there's such a thing. But if there's anyone out there who ever needs to buy a classic car or a Ferrari, you got to buy it here because... They're letting Todd Glass do the show here, and I sure hope that they get a payoff at some point. Like, somebody should, if he can sell at least one car here, I think it might be worthwhile. Buy your Ferraris here. I know the listeners of the Todd Glass Show are big Ferrari buyers, but this is the place to get your expensive classic car. Hey, and one thing.
Did we say it's Black Horse Motors right off of La Cienega and. Whatever other street.
Yeah.
I don't know how accessible.
Okay.
Is,
huh? And now as we wrap things up, I'd like to wrap things up quickly. Like when Todd wraps things up, it's another 2 hours. But I just go ahead, Henry.
I was just going to say I want to thank Mr. Fine Farts for coming.
You're burned, Steven.
You did it once. This is bullshit.
Fine Farts.
Wait, did he leave? Leaving? He's really upset.
Henry.
What? We were joking. I was doing a callback.
You know what you did?
Oh, man, he's taking it real seriously. No, Fine Farts. Remember, we were talking about it earlier as a joke.
Smallcock killed everybody. I'll be back.
I was... Oh, jeez. Boy, he got really upset there.
Now, look what you've done, Henry.
He left.
He's going to come back and he's going to kill us. I hope you're happy.
I should have gone with Ein Farts.
He might not have killed us. I think he would have stormed off. Okay, as we wrap up... Henry, are you going to do a set later tonight? I mean, we can't promote that.
Yeah,
but do you know the material you're going to do? Is it new material?
I'm going to go up and do whatever the fuck I feel like at that moment.
How'd that set go?
I'll just sort of look at people.
How'd that set go?
It's happened by now, right?
It went pretty good. I just went up and did whatever the fuck I felt like
doing. Did you bring your guitar?
I just sort of felt it out. I was in the middle of $5 a joke bit, and then somebody said... it's not funny, and so I grabbed my guitar, and that's the way that went.
How much do you think this show was in your head? At any point, like when you were on stage, did you feel like this show sort of steered the material you were doing or the performance you gave?
Yeah, I think I tried some stuff out here on the podcast for 50,000 people or whatever it is, and then I did it for 12 people later, and it went really well. Because I had already eliminated the stuff that didn't work here. So, I'm happy about it.
All right, so Henry, you're going to be at the Funny Bone in Omaha, which is in Nebraska, coming up soon, and then you're in San Francisco.
Yeah, I actually got San Francisco, Boston. It's all on henryphillips.com.
Okay, yeah, check henryphillips.com, and you can spend a whole day watching his YouTube stuff. It's all hilarious, and I've wasted hours on it.
Thanks,
and I suggest you do too. And I would also like to thank the amazingly talented UC Irvine graduate, Sam Varela, who works with Mark Maron, and she sang so beautifully. Do you have anything else to promote besides Mark Maron? Are you performing anywhere?
Well, Katie, my best friend, who's a not here today.
Katie Levine.
My friend, Katie Levine.
Ooh, good drop.
She and I used to work on the show Comedy Palace together, and I still do that, so you can still come to Comedy Palace, which used to be talked about a lot, and maybe still see Todd there. I don't know. There's lots of crazy stuff. Henry, you can come and work out your stuff if you want. So without your guitar, though. Without the guitar.
All right.
Comedy Palace.
Yeah.
Well, all right, good. Cool. And then Stephen Fine Arts, who was... Oh, he's back. Stephen, are you... You're not going to kill us yet, are you?
No, he's leaving.
I'm back. Okay, I just want to thank Stephen to check out Eddie Pepitone's Bitter Buddha. I think
which
Stephen,
I've seen is so good.
It's really good. Check it out. Yeah. Do we win you back yet, or are you still going to kill us, Stephen Fine?
No, I'm back. It's all good. But Henry said some horrible things.
I'm not going to say Ein Fard's A.
Ah.
Actually, what would it be if it were Pig Latin? It would be Einarts Fay.
Einarts Fay. Is that cool?
This fucking sucks.
Oh shit.
Oh man. I was just trying to. I was doing a subjective thing. I was an objective thing.
Where can you see this thing? This Bitter Buddha thing. It's.
You can see it on iTunes.
iTunes.
Yeah.
Say that again.
You can see it on iTunes.
All right, so everyone check that out. And I really want to thank Eric Olson and Chris Burden, too, for letting me...
Can you re-say the compliment without any mic noise, please?
Okay.
Just because I want to frame it.
And Chris Burden and Eric, thanks for doing everything for me.
Oh, thank you. I did not hear it before.
Todd, Chris had a mic, and he didn't abuse it. So you can take that for what it's worth. And with that, I'm going to sign off on the Todd Glass Show.
Thanks, Tom. I think you did a great job.
Thank you.
Can I play us out with one of Jingle Joe's songs?
We'll leave you with a Jingle Joe song. And thanks to Jingle Joe for what he provided. And thank you for everyone for coming here today. And we'll see you next week with Todd.
This is the song Plain Sight by Joe McKenzie. You can look him up on YouTube or follow Joe PDX on Twitter. I don't know. Look his name up.
Hard to escape the shape that it's in.
Nerdist.com